Why don't we go back to our agenda item 14, and we'll continue with staff's presentation on the stormwater regulation and program management.
Thank you.
Thank you for returning to this item. And thank you very much for all staying in attendance. I really appreciate the fact that you're all here and can participate in offering us some direction on this issue. Where I left off was I was about to begin describing the public comment that we've received. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Not sure. But. And so we've received both favorable and unfavorable responses to our proposal for a stakeholder process to help us redirect or improve on the efficiency of our regulatory program for Phase 2 stormwater entities. And the majority of what was written and submitted is of the unfavorable variety, but I did want you to be aware that staff regularly communicates with public agency staff and consultants and has really received a variety of more favorable responses than what was represented in the comments. As far as those written comments go, and those which you have before you, we heard from both unenrolled MS4s and enrolled MS4s. The city of Lompoc wrote a letter and expressed a real interest in seeing their swamp approved and moving forward with the current approach. Heal the Ocean provided a letter as well, opposing the delays that they perceived this process would entail. The County of Santa Cruz Public Works Department wrote a letter, and it was co-signed by the City of Watsonville, raising concerns about the delays and expressing an interest in having their swamps approved. Cal Poly's stormwater program staff also submitted a brief comment encouraging us to move forward and looking forward to working with us. And the City of Monterey, an enrolled MS4, provided comments. Much of their concern is with regards to a performance-based approach and what that means. And then finally, the Natural Resources Defense Council provided a comment yesterday morning, a comment letter yesterday morning. I would say strongly opposing the proposal. So I'd like to take a few minutes to respond to the common themes that are in these comments. But first, an observation, and as far as the written comments go, almost all of the commenters acknowledge that the process is flawed, but they would prefer that we just keep doing it, either faster, with more people, perhaps with their swamp first. But that's an interesting observation regarding the generally opposing points of view on this. Generally, the idea of attaching more resources to the problem or the current program, I think, can best be illustrated by this slide, which demonstrates where we're at in terms of stormwater resources at the regional board. Since 2000, year 2000, in fact, the first 3 years of this chart anyway, we've had 4-person years devoted to the entire program for stormwater, which includes not just the municipal program, which is predominantly a Phase 2 program, but the construction and the industrial permits as well. And you can see that four staff people were expected to address and manage, you know, approximately 600 permits. And, of course, we're not trying to equate a single construction permit with a single MS4 permit. But the point of this is that as time has gone on, the number of permits has increased, but the number of person years or staff resources really hasn't kept pace with the workload. In terms of what it would take for us to staff up and get this job done under the current process, this is a chart we developed. It's one of a number of scenarios that we entertained as far as the number of people who would be required, that would be required to successfully enroll all of the MS4s and continue with the management of the stormwater management programs that these entities have submitted. And in this scenario, we've assumed that we could continue with additional resources and achieve 22 swamp approvals per year, and it would be that number of 22 per year that would be required to get us to sort of the break-even point in 2011 and 2012, when there would no longer be any MS4s waiting for permit enrollment. They would all be enrolled. So that projects about 4 or 5 years out, assuming we do 22 enrollments a year. And, of course, this is, you know, lumping them all together, small MS4s, traditional, non-traditional, but on average 22 a year. But what would it take to do 22 a year? And that's what this more busy chart reflects, and I don't want to force you to read all this, but the point is that it would take 4.4 PYs expressly devoted to the swamp approval process to accomplish 22 per year, but that wouldn't allow us to actually manage the swamps that we've approved. We wouldn't be doing annual reviews. We wouldn't be doing board updates. There's a number of assumptions about what could be done with 4.4 PYs. With 7.3, and I hate to suggest that these are significant digits, but with over 7 PYs thrown at the problem, we could conceivably split the work and cover some of the existing management responsibilities for those swamps. So I just wanted to provide that glimpse of the resource issue, because it is something that was repeated as a comment in the comment letters. Generally, the public comment expressed these varying opinions, favorable and unfavorable. They acknowledged the process was flawed. They proposed that it could be done sooner and faster if we hired more staff. There's a clear perception that a stakeholder process would delay us from approving swamps, from getting enrollments. And there's also a suggestion that a stakeholder process would be open-ended, impressively elaborate, and a massive investment of resources. So that kind of a fear, I think, doesn't have a real solid basis, given that we haven't designed the process yet. But there's also a question as to what was performance-based, and I thought I'd just spend a minute or two to explain to you what regional board staff would like to present as a performance-based approach. Essentially, using performance-based approaches to regulating stormwater would mean evaluating and measuring permit and program effectiveness, and it would promote the use of quantifiable measures for compliance with permit requirements, for the reduction of pollutant loads, for the reduction of hydromodification, and for improvements in receiving water quality per water board or water quality standards, objectives, beneficial uses. So that's currently what we would like to put out there, is our notion of a performance-based approach. We clearly need to have a more robust discussion about this, and I believe it could happen with stakeholders, and it could be a constructive dialogue. But I did want to point out that the language in this slide is actually virtually identical to language in the recently signed Assembly Bill 739, which requires that the State Board develop such guidance by the year 2009, by July 1st of 2009, to do precisely this, identify how we will accomplish a performance-based approach to stormwater management. So what we're proposing to do in this region, and if it could conceivably move more quickly toward that outcome, which is now signed by the governor as the approach we plan to take. So in conclusion, we're recommending that you support us in starting this dialogue, beginning a discussion with stakeholders in a less constrained environment than a public hearing, to resolve the issues that have been obstacles to a more fluid enrollment of MS4s under permit. That's really the conclusion of the presentation. I have with me staff from the regional board, Lisa McCann, who's the section leader, and Ryan Lodge, who's had experience bringing several of the swamps before you. And we'd be happy to answer questions and respond to public comment as well.
Mr. Shallcross.
I'd like to just step back a second and refresh my memory. From what I understand, other boards don't necessarily have hearings on their... And did the board ask for that, or how come we decided to do it that way?
In mostly when a public member of the public requests a hearing, we grant that.
Okay.
It's been a consistent approach to the stormwater program because the emphasis on public involvement from the Phase 2 permit dictates a hefty amount of involvement by the public.
Okay, so these hearings have been requested by some party or member of the public.
Right.
Okay, that's all I have for now, but I want to come back.
Yeah, actually, under the current general permit, if we get a request for a hearing on a swamp approval, we have to grant the hearing.
Okay, so that's out of our hands.
Right. And it's just that in other areas, hearings haven't been requested.
Question, Dr. Press?
Ms. Okin, did you just say for any swamp?
Yes.
Any and
under
all?
Under the Phase 2 swamp, the process is that the staff approves it or recommends it for approval and posts it and gives public notice. There's a 60-day comment period during which the public can provide comments and request a hearing. If there's no hearing requested, it's approved by the executive officer, and if a hearing is requested, it goes to the board, and only the board can approve it.
Okay, so that's not in our hands. My question was... to the staff, you and commenters have identified problems with the swamp process, the review process. What I didn't see in your staff report was a clear nexus drawn between how your proposed stakeholder process would address the particular bottlenecks that you identify. Could you draw the line for us between those two? How would you like it to happen?
Well, again, we wanted to present this proposal to the board and actually be given some license to proceed with developing a stakeholder process. But we certainly recognize that one of the first steps in a stakeholder process is to identify the issues that have been the obstacles. And we can iterate a number of them here. In fact, my colleagues have prepared some notes on that. But it would really be one of the problems we've encountered or observed is that the issues might be the same between swamp approval hearings, or they might shift. And what's been the problem and the assumption is that, well, if you get one swamp approved, it might set the standard because it will resolve a number of issues, and those issues won't come up again. But that hasn't been the case. We've observed that that's not happening. And so we're suggesting another context where we have an opportunity to go back, explore, and explode each of those issues in greater detail and conduct a dialogue about them. I think I might ask either of you if you've prepared any of the issues that we discussed we could possibly tackle. But some of the issues, let me make sure I understand, you wanted to know what the issues are or how we would approach it.
Well, I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the staff had hoped that once a few swamps had been done, that the kind of state-of-the-art would be developed in the region, and then subsequent swamps would be designed along those same lines and... perhaps wouldn't be contested as much, in which case they would go forward much easier. And maybe what I'm hearing is that you're saying that's not happened, and you're hoping that a stakeholder process would basically ensure that subsequent swamps would include all of the substantive concerns that the stakeholders had so that moving forward they wouldn't be contested
right.
And they wouldn't request hearings because If it's true that the public can request a hearing on any one of these swamps, all 111 of them, you have very little control over the timing
right.
and how these play out. So what I guess I'm hearing you say is that you're hoping that a stakeholder process will prevent swamps being pulled for hearings if they've already incorporated. And I guess I'm a little worried that after all the public comment that we've had on the existing swamps, we're still not that far along in terms of addressing, I guess, the stakeholders in the region feel like there's still more to
right.
they're not confident that there's a common design or a common philosophy or whatever it is. We'll hear from them. But so I'm not sure that your expectation is well-founded.
Well, I think the expectation that we will continue to have the problem with individual swamp hearings is well-founded. I think that an alternative context for that discussion at least provides the opportunity. One of the advantages of a stakeholder process is you remove the individual case that everything, you know, the outcome of which is what everyone's worried about. You just take that off the table and say, well, let's talk about the issues. Another aspect of it is that you encourage, through the stakeholder process, you encourage stakeholders to be consistent with their positions and with the interests that they articulate, because they have an audience and they have to share that openly. And for them to be constantly changing positions on issues, of course, is not tenable for them as a stakeholder. So it encourages, I think, a more authentic expression of interest and positions and a resolution of those in a final sense. So the resolution you come up with in a stakeholder process is more likely to last and persist through a series of tests. The other thing is that you're presupposing that swamp approval is, in fact, an outcome or the direction we end up going. There's certainly options for completely circumventing that, so to speak, and moving toward a regional permit that simply dictates performance values or performance expectations and does not prescribe the development, submission, and approval of a management document or a plan. And that's a tact that Region 2 is actually using for their Phase 1 communities in lumping them together into a municipal permit.
Okay, see, I didn't see that in your scenarios there. You didn't say we could go with a regional approach for Phase 2, or I suppose you could even come back and tell us for a certain size, pick a threshold, we're going to issue standards and guidelines and requirements, and we won't have a separate planning process for each. You must do it this way.
That is definitely, we're completely open to that possibility. On page 4 of that staff report, we did include examples of approaches that we would consider, including drafting regional-wide general permits that all MS4s must enroll in, drafting several watershed or area-wide specific permits, developing consensus with interested parties regarding swamp content.
Okay, I didn't understand that region-wide meant something like a general permit, like a general, like what we do with wineries and so on. You just enroll, and it's a one-size-fits-all of that.
It does. It could be broken up among, as I mentioned, a tiered approach to the regulatory process. I also envision a tiered approach to some of the stakeholder involvement. The first decision out of the bag might be that we convene the traditional communities in one stakeholder process and set up a subsequent process for the school districts or for the non-traditional. So my point is we haven't decided that, and we wanted to present these ideas to the board and to the public to hear generally is that there's an openness to that idea. I think perhaps we, through the staff report and maybe even the presentation, implied that there's a more deterministic outcome.
I see. Okay.
We're very, very open to the construction and the structure for the process.
Great.
Mr. Chairman? Okay.
Could I add to that? Oh, over here.
Yes.
For Dr. Press, also to just add to that, I wanted to give you a little bit of background of about what we've been doing in our office. We've been talking about this for a long time now in our internally among staff, and we have this what we think of as this fundamentally flawed process where we are trying to get a responsible party, a discharger, to write something that we agree with. It's unusual. We don't do business that way normally. Imagine if we did all of our work that way, where all of the cleanup plans that came before the board or all the cleanup orders were where we were trying to get the responsible party to write them, and then we would approve them. Just let me finish, Lori. Or if we did all our MPDS permits that way, where we allowed the responsible party or the discharger to write them, submitted them to us, and then we went through this iterative process where we kept commenting on them, rejecting them, and trying to get to a point where it was something that was acceptable. We don't normally do business that way. So that's something that we've been talking about as far as a flawed process. And so within our office, we have people who have different ideas about how to approach this, and some of us say, let's just go to the regional permit approach, and we'll take all of the information that the board has given us and the direction that the board has given us over the past few years, incorporate that into a regional permit. We'll also take the information that from other boards that have adopted general permits for their regions. We'll take what has worked, and we'll bring that into our permit. We'll learn from lessons learned what worked. And then there's other folks in the office that say, but if we went through a stakeholder process, we would do the same thing. We would consider all the same issues and all the same sources of information, and we would talk about it with the stakeholders, and perhaps we would arrive at a similar place, but we would have much more agreement and therefore less opposition, less demands for hearings, and less petitions, less lawsuits. So we could go either way. We could go through a stakeholder process, or we could go the more prescriptive route, and the fact is we'll have a stakeholder process either way. It'll just be different.
Well, if you go through a region-wide permit, and Lori, maybe you could, or Francis, maybe you could answer the question. Suppose that you did a region-wide permit, and suppose you had it tailored to certain tiers, right, say school districts. You adopt it. Is it still subject to the public demanding a hearing for each one, or is it for just the whole region-wide permit?
It's for one.
It depends what the permit turns out to say. The reason we have to have all these hearings on these enrollments under a general permit is because of the nature of the permit. It's very different from most of our general permits where somebody just submits a notice of intent and nothing comes before the board because the board's already approved the general permit. That was the public participation process when the general permit was adopted. The reason swamps are different is because it doesn't have, or the stormwater permit is different, it doesn't have clear standards. It has categories of things a swamp has to address, but it doesn't have effluent limits. It doesn't specify what the BMPs are going to be. It doesn't specify what the BMPs have to achieve other than the maximum extent practicable standard, which is kind of difficult to define. So a court looked at a general permit that EPA had written, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, which is very similar to the state board's permit, and said, this isn't really a permit. The meat of the permit is in the swamp. So when the swamp is approved by the regulatory agency, that's the approval of the NPDES permit, and that approval has to be subject to the public notice and comment period that any other NPDES permit has to go through, whether it's a general permit or an individual permit. Once you start moving towards more prescriptive permits, it may be possible to get away from that. It hasn't been litigated, so no court's addressed it, and the state board hasn't addressed it. But if you put more prescriptive requirements in the permit, like you can't have any increase in off-site runoff and various other things, it's not clear under current law whether you still need to have hearings on all these swamps. Presumably, it would reduce the differences between the swamps and fewer hearings would be requested. But I don't know at this point how prescriptive a permit would have to be to avoid the hearing requirement and the public comment period altogether on each swamp. You could have a regional permit that has the swamp in it and says everybody has to do this. I don't know how you could come up with a swamp that would apply to all these different municipalities, although it sounds like Region 2 is moving in that direction.
Is Region 2? Does Region 2, what's their experience? Are they finding that they're having to hold hearings for every...
Well, is this a general permit for all the Phase 2 swamps, or is it one
phase one permit?
Yeah,
phase 1 permit.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a different issue. It's not
a
general permit.
One.
It's a phase one permit that they're developing, but we have the option of developing a regional general permit as well for phase two communities. And I think Lori was explaining how the swamp might play
a role. So it sounds like it's unclear whether a region-wide permit would result in, would function like a general permit in the hearing sense. I mean, if what you're trying to do with a region-wide general permit is to load up your public
front load the public process
once, rather than have basically have them pulled off of an uncontested items calendar for each one, we don't know if that's actually the result.
Right.
That's correct.
Oh, boy.
Well, and partly that's because at this point, staff doesn't know what the ultimate permit's going to look like and how prescriptive it will be. But unless everything is in that permit, it's going to be really difficult to say what the public process is going to have to be for enrollment. And there was one other thing I wanted to address on the issue of learning as we go and developing more experience as more swamps are approved. The last two that were approved, Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo, were both petitioned to the state board. And the petitions both included an extremely long laundry list of issues that were being challenged. The Santa Barbara draft order from the state board is due out in about a month. So I'm hopeful that that will resolve some of these issues on how prescriptive it has to be and some issues on specific BMPs and what the process should be. And I think that whatever process we end up going with, either continuing with the statewide general permit or developing something region-wide, there will be more guidance soon on what these permits have to look like. Mm-hmm. The San Luis Obispo petition, the state board hasn't requested a response yet, but more will be happening soon.
The Monterey County permit was not petitioned?
No. Well, the county petition, the cities of Monterey and Pacific Grove petitioned one of the issues, and the state board dismissed it. But the environmental interest didn't challenge it.
I had a few questions of staff, and I understand that Dominic and Lisa are really kind of coming on to this program recently. And I did want to hear from Mr. Lodge about what he perceives has been the bottleneck or the challenges that he's faced, you know, as the staff person involved with this process over the past couple of years, and, you know, what he's identified as creating this length of time.
I think Dr. Press, I think, kind of nailed it on the head when he said that. I think what he said was, we don't have a lot of control over the process once it goes. We post them for public notice, and so the time frame and the time it takes to go through that public process has slowed us down considerably in terms of preparing for board hearings. The issues are a moving target, and then there's just the sheer volume of permit applications, and that they expire every 5 years, or the swamps are only designed for 5 years. So when we start looking out on the horizon, it's difficult to manage that workload in terms of getting the swamps approved. I mean, we've been 4.5 years, and we've had 8 swamps approved. And some of those will start expiring in the next few years. There's also the workload management or the program management in terms of each time we have a swamp that's approved, that that adds to the workload in terms of reviewing annual reports, reviewing ordinances that are being drafted, board updates on annual reports, and all those things. Those start to fold in. So each time you enroll somebody in the program, you add work, you add a workload to that. And so trying to get ahead of that and continuing to enroll the MS4s under the current process, it's a challenge. I guess.
Well, here, let me give you some more questions.
Sure.
I mean, I know from reading our staff status reports over the years that, you know, there's been a number of unenrolled, you know, permittees that have submitted their swamps through various drafts, and they have waited at times, you know, many, many months, you know, for staff's comments and review. And so I'm just wondering why you can't really be too concerned about all the others that are pending on the horizon that are coming at you when you've got drafts that need comments and can be turned around and can be expedited. I mean, if you had a priority list of things that you can focus on and get out the door to us, because, you know, this, our last one was May,
right,
and this is now October,
right,
and we could have at least had maybe one or two.
Since that time, we've I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
Couldn't
we have had one or two during that in the last few months since May? Or is that being overly optimistic?
Possibly, but at a certain point, we started looking at the process and trying to figure out if we can ever get everybody enrolled and have a successful program. We recognized at this staff level, with the current staffing resources, we weren't going to be able to accomplish that. And so we started trying to look at ways which we could have a successful program, which would mean having everybody enrolled while still managing the construction and industrial permits.
Ryan, when did that discussion start? I mean, it sounds like you're saying that you suddenly stopped processing the draft, you know, the applications, reviewing the drafts, as you began internally to discuss what to do. Is that
it was probably in June. We've been as Michael Thomas had indicated, we've been talking about the fact that the system is not working for quite a while. But in about May and in June, we started seriously looking at what we need to do to correct the course that we're on and to get everybody enrolled. At that point, we do have several that are very near being postable, which we posted for the public review. But then at that point, it gets us again into the board hearing and the workload associated with that. Recognizing that we're never going to get everybody enrolled, we decided to take a step back and try to figure out how we can correct that, and that's what has led us to where we are today.
See, my only concern about shifting gears into a new approach is that you've really had, I don't know, at least 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 now in front of you, and you've had the opportunity to have the public and the stakeholders weighing in on each of these individual permits, you know, feeding you their specific concerns with each one. And that hasn't helped. That is something else going on that is slowing this down, because I don't know if taking a different approach is going to amount to any difference.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong. Having adopted these swamps that are listed here on this graph has not reduced the workload. Having adopted these has increased your workload relative to those swamps. You now have to review the annual reports associated with those, And there are significant problems with those annual reports because there are, from our perspective, there are significant problems with the swamps themselves. So trying to work those out with the municipalities has been an increased workload, plus the petitions that have been filed relative to these are an increased workload. So it isn't, I want to make sure that we don't have this picture of staff in the stormwater unit stopping work, that they just decided we're not going to process swamps anymore. They have been working on all of these other things, the work that is generated by having adopted these. So there's a significant amount of work associated with that.
Has Ryan been the only staff person actually working on these the Phase 2 permits? Because I think he's been the only staff person that's come before the board, if I'm not mistaken, with the county, Santa Barbara, St. Louis. And
Ryan has been managing the swamp approvals and attempting to manage the existing swamps, those that have been approved, until very recently, until September, when we began to shift additional resources toward managing the existing swamps because the annual reports are being turned in and they would require substantive, you know, evaluation and posting and response to comments. So until very recently, he was devoted to that with assistance from Jennifer Bidding in developing kind of this prioritization process. I want to take a little farther what Michael was suggesting, which is that far from stopping and throwing up our hands and doing nothing, you know, we definitely have the stormwater staff, because I just walked into this, but the stormwater staff have done a good job at managing what is on the table. Plus, they did what I believe is the appropriate thing when they stopped and said, this is not working. We want to be able to go to our board members and explain to them why continuing to do this is not going to be productive. When they recognized that and they sat down and began to try to evaluate why that's occurring and possible solutions to that, I think they made the right choice from a staff standpoint. They had to go through a process of really evaluating the entire program. And they actually included some of our more recent work with developing a vision for what our agency is trying to do with healthy functioning watersheds. And I think they really ought to be commended for that effort. But I recognize it appears as though there's been this dropping of one of the principal functions, which is swamp approval.
And okay. We have 10 speakers, and, you know, the board doesn't get involved, obviously, with the intricacies of each individual swamp as it's being developed. So we have to hear from, you know, the public who have been engaged in the process to find out what their perspective is. So we're going to move to that in a second, but
yeah.
Lisa?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing by way of perspective about workload and what staff's been involved in. Each subsequent swamp approval has created some lessons learned that has caused staff to consider whether the last point at which they touched an awaiting swamp was appropriately reviewed, commented on, and ready for posting. So we've been, what appears to be a delay in continuing to process some of the ones that are on hold or seemed close, was actually a thoughtful exercise in questioning whether or not we could continue to go the next step based on the work that had been done before, because we had another set of lessons learned, some thoughts about new expectations by stakeholders or board members. So that has caused staff to question whether or not they could go the next step, and in some cases they turned around and went back and said, we've got another round of comments we need to give you. So managing that dynamic nature of figuring out when they're ready to go and ready to come before you has been a challenge.
A case in point is the city of Lompoc, which is understandably frustrated that a swamp that they've submitted for approval and have actually had a previous recommendation for approval has not been approved. It's been sitting there for 18 months, and that they're not understanding why that can't go forward. And the reality is precisely what Lisa just said. Since their last round of revisions on their swamp, the adopted and approved swamps by this board have completely changed what the expected standard of swamp should be. So there's no way we can take the swamp that they've submitted that we've already previously commented on and present it to you. It will not survive the public process from what we can tell. Furthermore, three of the last approved swamps have been petitioned on other issues. So we have even less, you know, faith in this process just moving forward and resolving each issue separately.
But Dominic, why can't staff just take, you know, the lessons learned from the previous swamps that have come before the board and have been vetted, roll them in and submit those new comments on whatever drafts are pending and saying, okay, we have more information now on what the board expects, and you're now going to have to comment again because this is what, you know, you're going to expect to be challenged on.
We can do that. That will require a certain amount of time to do that. But I think the math of the problem is evident. To do that effectively requires we do it for 22 separate swamps per year. And that does not look tenable.
And
it certainly is tenable to bring to you a couple, three, four more swamps in, you know, the next several months. We could try that, but we really aren't getting very far. If you look at that diagram there, it's apparent that there'll be 62 waiting with the current resources we have. There'll be 62 waiting enrollment in 2018. That's 10 years away. So there's got to be some reconciliation with the process.
Well, how many of these are swamps that are coastal,
right,
on water, potentially threatened beneficial uses? You know, or have the potential to threaten beneficial uses. Can you carve out that subset?
That is.
Do you have an estimate of how many that would?
We can look at that. We'd like to look at that in the context of structuring a process to solve the problems associated with the different groups. And as I mentioned, we haven't structured a process.
Mm-hmm.
We could leave aside the stakeholder engagement process and just simply do what you're suggesting. Examine the swamps or the MS4s we have, try to neatly break them up into like types or geographically associated types, prioritize them, bring you a prioritized list of MS4s that we want to enroll under permit, tackle those. I don't think we're going to get, even with an approach like that, I don't think we're going to get to the place we want to be, which is to have fully enrolled MS4s within a couple of years. Go ahead.
You know, part of what you're saying is going on is that with each swamp that's come before the board, it's the board that's really kind of clarified some of the issues that it has perceived as being of importance. So if you're going to go ahead and break into the new stakeholder process, you're not going to have the board's input. Which ultimately has been driving what you've been telling us have been these, you know, additional standards or conditions that we have wanted.
We consider the board to be stakeholders, and we expect workshops or process to involve you in these dialogues. I mentioned the fact that the hearings are not problem-solving sessions, really. It's supposed to already be solved by then, and we address little inefficiencies, but we need a dialogue or a context for addressing these problems in a more, you know, open context. I definitely believe that the board has a lot to say about some of these priorities. I also will remind you that we would incorporate all lessons learned, the current, you know, what we believe to be the current board position on different issues, into anything we do from here forward. And because that has changed with each subsequent swamp approval, it's time to reassess what those conditions are, and do they apply to school districts or do they just apply to coastal dischargers? Mm-hmm. Those are valid questions which we need to consider.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
As far as the process goes, the board can give us direction, and we can design a process, whether we go with a stakeholder process without a solution in mind, or we go with a stakeholder process with a solution in mind. Say that we go with Plan B. We're calling Plan B is we draft a regional permit and present it to stakeholders. We can create a stakeholder process that includes workshops with the water board. And Lawyer Francis could chime in here, but I don't know if there is a process where by which board members or sub-panel of the board could be involved in that process, if not the whole board. But we can definitely work in board workshops into that process and would do so.
Well, we had, you know, with the ag waiver process, we had the board was involved in workshops.
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? We have about 10 or 11 speaker cards, so these are the stakeholders right here. Why don't we hear from them, and then the board can then kind of decide what it wants to do with this, okay? Any